that you know. I broke everything new again, everything that I'd own. I threw it out the windows, came along. Extreme waves I know will part the colors of my sea. Perfect color me. Extreme waves that held me, that held me out late at night. Extreme places I had gone to never see any light. Dirty basements, dirty noise, dirty places coming through. Extreme worlds alone, did you ever like it, Pam? I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
Waterproofed, pinhole lens.
Spy camera.
Taking some very candid photos.
Video, actually.
Which one of them is a pervert?
The guy who downloaded the most crap.
What is good? Welcome to the live stream. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and donate. The preferred way of donating is hitting the Streamlabs link in the chat. What's good? What's up? What's poppin'? Pelican Brief 2 wasn't new. Yeah, I know. Does anyone know who has the second part? I will pay them $1,000 for it. If they want more, I'm willing to negotiate. But I'm willing to pay $1,000 for the Pelican Brief Part 2. Whoever owns it, whoever released Part 1. I guess I would have to ask Stuttering John. He knows, but... Allegedly Richie Wilson, but he denies it. Well, whoever out there who has the full staff meeting and we want the part two, I will pay you $1,000. People offered $5,000. I've amended my offer. I will offer you $5,000 for that video. I'm not joking either. Some dude hit me up. Hey, I'm the guy. I got part two. $5,000 for it. I'd plunk down to $5,000. So now I am offering $5,000. Big man. Want to make some big bucks. How'd you like to make $5,000? At the hotel in Miami Beach. You get the money, you pick it up. You know how to handle a machine gun. No one wants $1,000. Nigga, fuck you. Kate Verde and Pesa. No, nigga, $5,000 American money. I'll pump down $5,000. It's a little more than 50% of my YouTube paycheck, but fuck it. I'll drop that on it. Just to see it, nigga, yeah. Of course, I'll make money off of it, too, but. Jussie Smollett, the first American to scam Nigerians. I can't even show you $5,000. Who has $5,000 in cash laying around? Who has $5,000 in cash laying around? Poor people! Everything's in accounts, nigga. What are you talking about? Cash. This dude's in the hospital, but we've been talking to the wife and we're gonna go see the house soon. We might be purchasing houses out here soon, nigga. Apparently, she jerked off one of the Nigerians. That Nigerian nigga must be heated. I saw the Breakfast Club talk about it today, too, and they were like, you shouldn't get no three. No, that nigga should get 3 years. Fuck out of here. Wasting all of our time with this horse shit. House of 1,000 food stamps. That nigga should get the 3 years. He's that insane. He's that fucking gone. People forget, though, the first Jussie Smollett was LeBron James. I saw Kyle Rittenhouse take some shots at him. And Kumia was not happy with that Rittenhouse shit. He talked about it on the show. He thinks Rittenhouse is fucking himself over for civil suits and shit. But let us not forget LeBron James faked the hate crime that someone sprayed the N-word on his garage door. That never happened. He made it up. The media just dropped it. Only one guy called him out on it, too. Are there still red boxes? Yeah, exactly. Almost said a race riot and calling himself a gay Tupac. That nigga ain't gonna be my sidekick. The NASCAR noose was the dumbest thing ever. The fucking pull-down thing they thought was a noose. And I remember at the time, Max Kellerman, it was technically a noose. Like, shut the fuck up. Ah, all those niggas are clowns. I remember when the red box first came out. That used to be the shit. But then they still like, where do you put a DVD? Like, I like Tom McDonald. I would get Tom McDonald albums. He only sells CDs, though. He doesn't do a digital thing. Which he could easily set up on his own website. Where he can only listen to it on his website. Why he doesn't do that, I don't know. And especially at the point now, because he's selling so much, he can't sign anymore. And it's like, dude, get a CD. I have nowhere to put a CD. Where am I going to put this CD? CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays in this time, 2021, about to be 2022. They're like 8-track tapes. What am I supposed to do with that? A red box. Must have beat that puss up good. This is, fuck yeah, fucking home run. Blockbuster made it to the DVD machines? Nigga, I remember Blockbuster used to fuck me over. I used to rent a fucking video game. Remember when Blockbuster first started doing video games, too? And got rid of the video gaming places. I must have spent like $150 playing Pokemon Snap. I remember before Blockbuster, when we had... Well, first it was Major Video. The Major Video was bought out by Blockbuster. I remember the mom and pop video stores. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I remember when I lived in Manville, Lincoln. What was the name of it? I forget the fucking name, but it was a pizza place. And a movie rental store. And their whole gimmick was order pizza in a movie. Because if you ordered a pizza to be delivered, you could also have them bring you a movie. And this was back in it. This is how back in the day this was. It was $100 a month just to be a member of the video aspect of the pizza place. And you still had to pay for the videos. Which is why, obviously, Blockbuster took over and corporations took over. Because back in my day, like Blockbuster, you had to pay a monthly fee. Then you still had to pay money to rent the video.
Yeah, man, the mom and pop video store owner was the greatest ever. Mom, because they always had porn in the back, some kind of porn. They had a little porn stash. You get porn. Now, Blockbuster. So have you come to the conclusion that Red Bar is just fucking dead and his little stupid Jew wife is running that Instagram account?
No, I don't think he's dead. I think something happened in his personal life.
So you saw the video of him supposedly building out a studio of the stock footage at 100 miles an hour on his Instagram, saying, telling his suckers and showing them a list of things he's getting done. And that he'll be doing a show sometime in 2022, right?
Well, I guess that puts a thing where it says give it about a year on his site.
No. He's put an Instagram post. He linked to an Instagram post where It's stock footage of some dummies doing like construction in an office, and he's telling them, and he gave a little checklist that's supposed to be handwritten that he took a picture of, where he's supposed to be getting these things done, like ordering stuff. So he's halfway down the list. So we know that he's going to.
Here's my red bar theory. The parents finally stepped in. You've been doing this for 20 years.
And they committed him to the psychiatrist.
It's time to get a job, dude. That's my theory. You've been doing nothing for 20 years, doing your bullshit internet thing. Get a fucking job.
So they basically say, you know, here, son. Here, Jew son. You've been doing this 20 years.
We bought you a comedy club.
And
if you want to be in the will,
you got to cut this bullshit out, right?
It's enough of the bullshit. You're fucking gray. You're in your fucking 40s. Been doing it for 20 fucking years. You've made no real money. You're blowing our money. You remember that comedy club you had? I think honestly happened.
what a loser, dude.
Whoever finances his parents essentially.
So at this point, people like Jesse P.S. and Mersh, they win because their mommies didn't get to intervene, and his mommy did.
They haven't been living off mommy for 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, he put himself out there as this alpha male. All these losers who, like, you know, followed him and thought he was great. It was like, you know, it was like their version of Joe. Oh, look, he's making fun of Joe. He's an alpha guy. He's even talked about how alpha he is. But when your mommy has to intervene, the people you made fun of, as much of a loser as Jesse P.S. and Mersh are, they're better than you at that point.
Because I was looking at Red Bar, man. And I was like, where do you get a comedy club from?
Well, this is what happened.
How did he afford that?
He had an idea. He had an idea. Him and his other partner that he squeezed out, the guy that started the AV company that he did. He did a lot of Jewish weddings before he embarked on his career as a radio guy. Him and his other guy, but they went to a bar in downtown Chicago and said, "You're not making any money. It's not a bar, but like a restaurant. You're not making any money at night. So I'll open a comedy club. I'll put like a little bullshit stage here and I'll call it a comedy club." And that's exactly what he did. That guy realized, you know what? I don't need you. You're just a jerk. And if you're making fun of the comics I bring in here, so they're making me money. You're not. And then they dissolved the partnership. So they really weren't. I mean, there was money invested, but he never actually owned a club.
Red Bar never really made money off of the Red Bar thing. Because I know how much server space cost and shit.
What happened. I get this right. There's a bar at Barn Grill that's open for lunch in downtown Chicago. He went to him and said, "You know what? You could be making money if I help you bring in these comics. These comics come in the evening. They do their thing. You get the charge for some food and some liquor." Then he started making fun of the comics he was bringing in.
Well, yeah, now I'm talking about Joe. Internet thing.
He never owned a fucking club. He had a deal with a guy who owned a bar, and he pissed that guy off.
The
guy got rid of him. So
I'm talking about Scar's
that's
Club.
All bullshit.
He never really made money off of Scar's Club because I know how much it runs.
You got to pay. You got credit card processing fees. You got to have server, all that other stuff. He's not making money off his shit.
No money off of that. I remember, what's his name? Tomash, the fucking European Muslim dude who follows me. And it was like one of the first times Red Bar went live on YouTube. And he goes, "He only had like 100 live viewers." And I was like,
"That sucks. Yeah,
he's not that big." He was like, "Well, how many people actually pay for a Scars Club?" I'm like, he's not making money doing this. He's wasting family money. And my theory is his family stepped the fuck in. Said 20 years, motherfucker. Enough. Get a job.
20 years is a long leash. Is a long, long leash.
That's my thought.
So you know the biggest thing about, you know, Jewish parents is that they want to have Jewish grandkids. So he got married to this Jew bitch from fucking some country
Jewish
part of
is
Canada.
He Lebanese?
No, he's Jewish. He's a big old Jew. I looked at the paperwork. Lebanese people. Not too many of them. They kill a lot of those.
Field operator.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the thing. That's my theory. Someone in his life said they gave him the 20-year mark. All right, nigga, it's done. We're pulling the plug. We're not paying for this anymore.
I still believe he got a horrible disease and he's dead.
Oh, he doesn't have no horrible disease.
He says he had the fucking little thing. You know, when you go, you take a person to chemo, they have these little.
Oh,
they have
he's
the,
fine.
They have the infusion stuff. He popped off his shirt. He had the infusion shit still strapped to him.
Dude,
he was going through chemo.
On videos.
It's on his. Any of you idiots, go look at that. You go find it like 6 months ago. He was reaching over. He had a short sleeve shirt. He had the infusion gimmick on his wrist because he's going
fine.
Through chemo. He's dead.
He's not dead.
He's dead.
He's fine.
He's fucking dead.
He's 5'2". He'll live to 112. He's fine. And he's a Jew. He's going to live forever. The problem is the family pulled the plug.
Wait.
I'm telling you. The family
but, you know,
pulled the plug on it.
Okay, Kalila, let out the bag that Joe Rogan is super short. Like, we finally got confirmation. All these people who think they're going to make something on, they all lie and say that he's 5 foot, whatever he says he is. And she goes, I'm 5'8". I'm a woman,
yeah,
and I look
I
down
video
on him.
About it.
I know, but it's like, what's like? And he goes, and then the woman he was like there, the comedian she has a show with. Oh, he doesn't care about his height. Oh, he doesn't care about his height. That's why he tells everybody he's 5'8". He should just say I'm 5'5" and I'm 190 pounds and I'm a fucking meathead. He,
like
he's
I said
the
in
one
the video. I think the skywriter got it right. He's probably 5'6".
That's with his shoes on. That's with his little fucking shoes on. He wears those fucking
True.
Heeled shoes. So he's a little bitty guy, you know. So what's going on, Kyle? You still raking in the dough? I mean, it's a slow part of the year, December.
Yes.
You know, Daniel.
The January paycheck. I don't know. They might have fucked up the game, disabling the dislike.
Yeah. I think they
did. I don't know. A lot of dislikes can rock an algorithm, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've
so I think
noticed
they're
gonna views are down on everything.
Everywhere. Except for the stuff that's like CNN, and somehow they got more viewers.
But that dislike counter used to break. Trust me, I dropped some videos with 100 likes, 1,000 dislikes, and it blew the fuck up.
It's called, yeah, they called it, they gave us, they called it, you know, they called it interaction. They called it social interaction. That's what
yeah.
they were saying. That's what was in their algorithm. So if people aren't able to press the button, they're not seeing anything. So that you're destroying between 50 and 20% of the social interaction of your fucking media, and you're going to lose 15 to 20% of your fucking views. It's that simple.
Exactly.
So, but they're funneling all these views to fucking ABC. Fucking, how many times have I seen fucking recommended for some fucking ABC show, CNN, all this bull fucking shit? I don't give a fuck about. They've ruined your. It's at the end. It's over. YouTube's over. It's kind of done. You should. I think it's over, man. I mean, how's it gonna last? The Republicans are coming in, and they're gonna fucking put. They're going to start taxing YouTube or something.
I don't think it's that hard, but how long do you think this dislike not working is going to last?
I don't know. I mean, maybe there could be a cue where that Susan Wojcicki finally gets overturned.
Is this
I mean, overthrown.
Still in charge?
Yes, she's still in
how
charge.
How much? Since you put her in charge, you failed at everything and lost everything.
Well, they
how
did get rid of that
woman
idiot.
How long get to fail just because she's a woman?
They did get rid of the guy from Twitter. He finally
Jack,
they got rid
about,
of him.
Hey, he was winning. She's losing.
Yeah, but now Twitter's losing because nobody sees anything. It's just whatever he was doing, it was
woman,
making money.
Since she's been put in charge, everything is less. Everything is worse.
Well, I'm not saying at some point some shareholders of Google. If there's a coup in the boardroom, there could change things around. But barring that, as long as this woman's in charge, she's running YouTube into the ground. That's her mission.
They're going to keep her in charge. They don't make money. Well, they make money, but they just keep YouTube for the analytics.
And it's a search engine, yeah. But and now I don't know what deal they have with the big networks here, but there's a deal they cut with news agencies in Europe and in Australia right now where they're giving them money. So there's a partnership with their news media. So I don't know if ABC and those other people are going to get in partnership here where they're going to split revenue.
The weird thing is called YouTube. Make... They don't want you to tube. They want TV to tube.
Yeah, well, that's
You're
the whole
supposed
game.
To replace TV, but you want to just be TV.
Oh, they did. They replaced TV in that people's viewing habits were that they would still watch TV up and, when they're giving me a lot of money and everybody else, they started giving they basically wanted to change the viewing habits of people, and they did. So they've changed the viewing habits. People don't use the TV anymore for watching broadcast television. They could have gotten free over TV, over the air. And now pretty soon they're going to put paywalls up. If you want to see something cool, then you're going to have to pay a paywall. I get that shit every time I get on YouTube. Oh, you want YouTube? You want to subscribe to YouTube this, subscribe to YouTube that? Some bullshit. Maybe you're rent of you. I mean, I remember when they first did the YouTube Red, I got money off of that. It was a pretty good chunk of money. They've gotten rid of that. So unless there's something replacing it, I don't know.
Wasn't YouTube Red just YouTube Premium?
Yeah, whatever it was. It was called Red when I was there.
Not a green badge, but I still make 20 cents.
Yeah, I was getting 25% revenue when it first came out. It was like an increase in revenue, and then it made up 25% of the revenue. And now that's kind of – there was dropping off. I mean, I don't have an active channel making any kind of significant money here, but to me it looks small. So unless they replace it with like, oh, yeah, old YouTube, you know, if you really like YouTube, subscribe to this. And it's like the old YouTube and people will buy it and they start paying people like you from it. Maybe. I mean, the whole thing's fucked up.
How dumb are they to give up Cobra Kai? I don't know if the plan failed, but you still had Cobra Kai.
Well, the thing is that they thought
completely failed. Epically failed. But you still had Cobra Kai.
They didn't have the
plan Cobra Kai. Why'd they give up Cobra Kai?
Because because they didn't go into Hollywood. Because whoever's the powers to be at Hollywood they didn't see YouTube as a legitimate stream platform for shows like Cobra Kai. So
yes,
Cobra Kai.
Hollywood, but I'm talking about YouTube as a company. Yes, your whole thing failed. Give YouTubers thing, it failed. You did something great, though, called Cobra Kai. That it was the only one thing from the YouTube Red shit. But it was the one thing.
That's the wrong thing. They had one thing. And
according to them niggas, it was an easy sell. They weren't going to do, what was it, the fourth season? Third season?
That show stinks. I mean, I'm not going to watch the next season. I'm not going to watch it.
I love that show, but the one thing you had, you gave up on your YouTube.
Well, the ponytail guy's back. He's got gray hair.
You had the Cobra Kai, a show that rocked.
Yeah, the silver guy's back. He got gray hair. He's coming. That's so gay. I mean, you like that guy?
Yeah.
from Karate Kid 3, you know, what's his name? Something Silver.
In a rich guy. Cobra Kai rules. And that's your rules. And look,
it comes.
Look. And this goes back to this bitch who wants you to write and it failed. But you add Cobra Kai.
But what? That's only one. They didn't. They couldn't make headway with the people who run Hollywood or whatever you want to say to make more shows. They couldn't give money away because they were giving money. Like PewDiePie and all these other people on YouTube Red, they had like their own little thing and they gave them production companies. They used YouTubers to make like shows like Scare PewDiePie.
But
no, they fired him.
That
didn't fail. They fired him. He got in trouble and they got him off their fucking, they got rid of him and said, you know, you're not going to be, he's still on YouTube, but they got rid of him as a partner because of the whole fucking adpocalypse shit. So they've made a bunch of stupid decisions. So it's right, like,
Sheppy.
Why would they fire PewDiePie? Or get rid of him?
Sheppy.
What?
Enough babbling with you.
It's not babbling. This is intelligent conversation, but I understand where you're at. You were talking for the 100th time about the old Blockbuster Video. So we can go back to that.
Pizza Italy.
The old Blockbuster Video when you can go get pizza, you know. But the guy, the franchise that existed for like 8 years when you go buy a 24-inch pizza and they give you a fucking, you can rent your videos. You call them up. You talk to some fucking Asian or some fucking Nexus.
Hey, it's Friday night ordering pizza and we'll bring you a movie. This is like 1994.
Yeah. And a 24-inch pizza, some gigantic pizza that you would never
order. But it was a $100 membership fee a month.
Oh, for the year.
No,
for the year. For the year. You don't pay $100 a month for nothing. Was $100. It was for a year.
I'm talking 1994.
Yeah, 19 is $100 for the year.
And still pay the money to rent the movie.
Who in 1994
is paying Blockbuster? And that's why every company took over. Why Netflix?
There were still people paying $100 a month for rent in 1994. Why would they pay $100 a month for a pizza delivery?
I lived in Mainville, Lincoln. We were kind of making money at that time. But it was kind of a rich part of Rhode Island. Dad kind of got a great job. But back in the day, you have to pay for the membership and pay to watch it. Imagine paying for Netflix and then having to pay $5 to watch whatever you want to watch on Netflix. That's how shit took over. It wasn't convenience of delivery. It's convenience of pay. That's what it was. It wasn't that you had to go to Blockbuster to rent the video. You had to pay a monthly fee to Blockbuster, then go to Blockbuster and pay them more money to rent the video. Where Netflix, you pay Netflix and you just get to watch it. That's what it was. But anything in this Kumia thing, Sheppy left. Oh, thank God. Him and his overt homosexuality bothers me, but. All right, Kumia thing. I still had shit to play. I plan on getting all of it, by the way.
I'll take it though. Oh my God. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Anthony.
You were fantastic yesterday.
Of Opie still obsessing with Howard Stern. It's on his YouTube page.
Yeah.
And he's just bitching about Howard still. I don't understand why he still is obsessed with Howard. Can you explain to me?
Yes.
Not getting over an ex-girlfriend.
Very good. See, he's actually making sense here. It is kind of like that.
Kumia's face looks like the inside of a baseball glove.
Opie has had this fascination and obsession, really, if you think about it, with Howard Stern over the years. Howard Stern, during Opie's entire radio career, even before I got on board, when he was over at BAB and up in Rochester, all the places he was before it was the Opie and Anthony show, Howard was always the giant shadow that was cast over the radio industry. No one in the from the mid-'80s until he went over to Sirius Satellite Radio, no one was bigger than that motherfucker. Just no one. He was the king of radio. I'm not going to say all media, self-proclaimed, as they say. But you aren't finding a bigger, more influential radio disc jockey, shock jock, if you will, than Howard Stern. And I think that bugged the shit out of him. Howard bashed his buddy brother Wheeze you know, there was nobody that could beat Howard. So when it was Opie and Anthony, we came into New York, we got as close as anyone could. And we weren't even up against the guy in the same day part. The company made sure they weren't going to put us fighting each other. They figured they'd get one show in the mornings, Howard, and then one show in the afternoon, Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, weren't you guys supposed to go to Q104.3 before you got that big deal with NEW back in 2001?
Well, my monitor, I'm frozen right here, but what are you going to do? Well, after we were fired, Q104 wanted us to go over there. Actually, before we were fired, during contract negotiations, Q104, Clear Channel Media, came forward and said, hey, we want O&A to go in mornings against Howard. And because it was a different company. And then Infinity Broadcasting said, yeah, that won't happen. We'll just give them a shitload of money. They had like first right of refusal, they call it. So they could match whatever Clear Channel came up with. And they did. Yeah. They gave us a boatload of fucking cash. But probably the Howard thing, if I may continue.
Yes.
So he was always very jealous of the notoriety and whatnot, because it seemed like no matter how hard you worked and how good your shows were, you were never going to achieve the level of Howard Stern. And that was just the way it was. There was really nothing you could do about it. You could be awesomely great, and you were just going to be like, oh, that's kind of a Howard wannabe or something. They would call you
Anthony in space. The set fucked up, so you're just in a void blackness. Cormier hates callers.
You know, shock jock wannabe, whatever. So he still has that resentment in him where he has to, and he always, in that, which is a weird thing with Opie also, he wanted to tie himself to Howard somehow. For how much he hated him and wanted to be bigger than Howard and was jealous and resentful, he always wanted to be attached to Howard somehow. Any story that would come out where it was Howard and Opie and Anthony and you know, oh, what is this going to be? He loved shit like that if his name was somehow attached to Howard. And now it's so irrelevant. Like, no one gives a shit about Howard Stern anymore. He's got subscribers over at Sirius. I think a lot of them subscribed for Howard early on, and then just, you know, they like the 80s on 8. Yeah. So they didn't, you know, unsubscribe. But I don't think anyone that was a Howard fan for many years is actually listening to Howard Stern anymore. No one knows when he's on, first of all. He's constantly on these really expanded vacations. And he's turned into kind of a parody of himself and a hypocrite. He's got this liberal mentality now, that just Hollywood thing. He's trying to fit in with the crowd that he used to goof on, and everyone loved that. So I don't know. I think it's two pretty irrelevant people, and one of them still completely obsessed with the other. So yeah, that's about it.
All right.
Gave you way too much time. All right, my friend. Bye. Thank you, Santa. There he goes. Holy mackerel. Yeah, this is something that's going on. Pat, PA, what's up, man?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yes.
It's funny that you took that call right before mine, because I'm on a Howard Stern hate site. All we do is complain and bitch about how terrible he is. That's not why I'm calling.
What are you going to do?
Do you think with everything that happened with Chris Cuomo and then now Don Lemon, there's accusations against him, because Discovery's buying, merging with CNN and John Malone, which he was your boss at one point.
Yes.
Like way up the chain.
Yeah.
Do you think this is he said he wants to go back to regular straight news.
Yeah.
Do you think this is calculated?
Boy, I don't know. You never know what they're fucking doing, how calculated it is. I assume everything they do is calculated and has some kind of an ulterior motive to it. But yeah, Malone has said that CNN is not a news station. They aren't journalists. They aren't doing reporting. To let the person know, first of all,
the bear.
Yeah, he's poking the bears. He's fresh off of this acquittal. Half the country can't stand this motherfucker. And he's out there kind of joking around and laughing and saying, fuck LeBron James, and seemingly very relaxed when he's doing these interviews, when you should maybe have, you know, obviously you're acquitted.
He didn't like what Rittenhouse is doing.
Obviously, he had every right to do what he did as far as the court's concerned, and personally, as far as I'm concerned, and seeing what I saw, yes, he had every right to protect his life, and did so. By
Chris DiStefano on Opie was terrible. That's when he had a wife, a baby, and a deal to do a sitcom. The wife left him, and he's a miserable fuck now, and it made him funnier.
By killing a couple of people and injuring another, but he shows no sign that this affected him in any way. I know damn well, I don't care what kind of scumbag motherfucker that was doing something to me. If I had to actually take a life, I would be very affected by that. And it would be something that lives with you and that you'd have to deal with. And there's a certain way I think that you need to present yourself, or at least not need to. I'm not talking about being fake. I'm talking about picking and choosing what and when you say certain things in a public forum, especially nowadays when things can be so misconstrued and misinterpreted. And I think he's making a big mistake getting out there, putting himself out there on podcasts and stuff, and just talking like he's just some kid that played a video game. It kind
of
looks like that.
Did you hear that Call of Duty comment he made?
Yeah, I saw a few of them. The LeBron one was pretty interesting. And then there's the other one about the courtroom. We have that clip, actually. Here he is talking about some of his favorite moments during his murder trial. This is a little weird to act this way. I'm not saying he shouldn't. And I'm saying, look, everyone handles whatever the way they're going to handle it. If this is how he handles killing two people and shooting three people, it's fine. But it looks, and everyone's going to say, it looks very smug. It looks very privileged. And it doesn't look like someone who has any remorse, even though he was protecting his own life, any remorse whatsoever of snuffing out two human beings, regardless of what piece of shit they were. I get it. You don't have to fucking give me that, and I know people will. But he seems a little too happy.
My favorite thing of that whole trial is when Nathan DeBrune testified. Great, great guy. Mm-hmm. When the fat guy, ADA Cross, was like saying something.
The fat guy. He's called the prosecutor
fat guy. By the way, I can tell you what happened in Rittenhouse. Obviously, he's in the limelight. He's gotten some pussy. He never had pussy before, but now he's been acquitted. People love, girl, he's gotten some. This is a nigga who never got pussy before, who's now getting pussy thrown at him, who just got some pussy.
You're saying blah, 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 and then he was like, no, that's not what I'm saying. And then judge was like, no, that's not what he said. And then Nathan was like, yeah, get it right what I'm saying. I just died right there. I'm like, that's awesome.
Was that the autistic guy or no?
It was Nathan DeBrune, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I said, he's Chris Christie before Chris Christie becomes fat, his face. But he's getting thrown pussy by hot conservative chicks at conferences and podcasts and shit. The first time ever he's getting pussy.
So like, and that's what I love autistic people, because like they just tell the truth. No, it's true though. Like they just say it like it is. Like that's why John and I are good friends.
I was like, why did I agree to this?
No, but like it's
because
like,
you wanted to. All right,
I gotta go walk my fish. Yeah. Yeah.
Podcast history, Sarah.
I do. Okay, so there was that one, but then like, what's that one video where he says something about hocus pocus?
Mark Richards, my attorney, without him, this would not have been possible. All seriousness aside. With all jokes aside, great guy, but
how do you need a facelift at 20, by the way?
Came off with hocus pocus, out of focus. It was just amazing. I was really hoping he would say something, if the pixels don't fit, you must quit. But hocus pocus took the cake of the trial.
Dude, I watched these, and you see Kyle go like that, watch, where is it? What'd you do?
You're laughing. He's not funny whatsoever.
He's, I was like, this bro's reenacting laughing at his own murder trial. Like,
yeah. So out of this whole hearing, though, my favorite part is when Grossgrude's chair broke. I don't know if you saw the Zoom, but I had to bury my face under the desk. I was dying laughing.
Dude, was that a... Was that a...
That is hilarious.
The lawyer laughs.
A stunt?
What, I don't know,
but it was hysterical.
Oh my god! Because the guy Lotus, he blew his arm
Gage,
off.
He's one of the
hilarious.
Was a part of the trial.
Who pointed a gun at me?
He tried to lie about it the entire trial.
Tried to say that he didn't.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I think then Corey did an amazing job. Corey's a phenomenal attorney. And Corey was like, it wasn't until, I don't remember the exact words, but it wasn't until you ran at him, pointed a gun at him, until you were shot, correct? And then he was like, yes. The sponge, they made a SpongeBob meme out of it with Patrick and the superhero guy. I'll send it to you.
I'm expecting this. Dude, that guy, which arm was hit actually in the official?
Lawyer, this or that. No. Within the next 6 months, you will see his YouTube channel, and they can't take it down.
Trial was left or right?
Right arm.
Okay, so he may not have the right to bear arms, but he still has his left. You saw that meme? Doesn't that mean?
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
I did see that. At least he still has his left.
All of this is making me think of that clip of Richie McGinnis, who was there that night. I don't know if you've...
Yeah, how is Richie doing?
I think he's all right.
Richie is a badass. Yeah, Richie, when I called Richie last, he was
anyway,
he was going
this
to a
goes
hockey
on.
Tournament.
I mean, yeah. it's do you get my point? I'm trying to... Like, I know there's a fine line here. And there are supporters.
He was under such pressure. I think he's just coming unwound.
What's that? Oh. Yeah. He could be coming unwound. That is weird. If this is a case of where a guy went through a traumatic experience, has some form of PTSD because of it, and he's out there like this, you could almost say he snapped. But... You know, like I said, who knows? Maybe this kid should just fucking join the Marines. Like, he'd be great just waxing people, seeing friends' heads explode.
I was in the military. You get paid nothing.
He'd be like, it's part of the fucking deal. Hoorah. You know, he's either that
he's making the money
or
now.
He's going to hang himself. I don't know. But my point being, when you have gone through something that has been national news where half the country hates you, half is putting you up there on a pedestal like a god, you really got to watch how you present yourself. And again, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you should be able to go out there and be the person you are. But we all know we don't live in a utopian society like that. So the fact that he's out there coming off like that in interviews and whatnot cannot bode well for him. It will not bode well for him. He better hope he wins some lawsuits, because this fuck is never working. No one's hiring this guy.
I think he'll do well. It's probably the new lawyers in his ear.
Yeah.
Who's giving him this advice to do this?
Yeah, I think there's also going to be instances where these clips will be used in civil cases. And I
agree with Cumia, by the way.
I don't know if a jury in a civil case will be too sympathetic to a guy that's sitting there laughing at jokes made of the guy's arm being blown off and his right to bear arms as opposed to his...
Why would he join the military? You make no money in the military.
Left arm.
He said he was dying in laughter. Like,
yes,
that's a very poor choice.
I was dying, not like those guys. You know, like that guy was dying that I shot in the chest when... And again, I'll say it 1,000 times. I love what he did. I believe it was great work. He downed a fucking guy that fucked little boys in the ass numerous times. I mean, anyone should be cheering this motherfucker. If anything, for his vigilante.
He was taking a bigger victory lap than the nigga who killed Osama bin Laden. And that's the truth. The nigga who killed Osama bin Laden didn't take that much of a victory lap.
Status. The other guy, you know, obviously trying to kill him, beat him over the head with a skateboard. That's a deadly weapon at that point. The guy that pointed the gun at him, didn't point the gun, didn't get shot. Pointed the gun, got shot. It was obvious, and the jury, thank God, saw it that way.
I'm not going to kind of think. You don't mind the victory lap. You're going to be sued civilly. And you are going to be making the money to be sued civilly. You know what I got, man. isn't criticizing. You get advice. Because I'm going to get some money. Give me money, you're going to get some money. Kumi is giving advice. Just don't fuck it up. Don't fuck yourself up civilly.
But again, we live in a weird society now. There's no Audie Murphys anymore. There's no fucking Bernie Goetz, you know? Bernard Goetz was the subway vigilante, and he was in a subway here in New York City at the peak of the crime wave in New York City.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I really do. Yeah, you a conspiracy dog. I say you go conspiracy dog. More than a while. What the fuck is Wealthy Buddha doing now? What is he doing? I want to see this.
There are some who believe that the modern world continues to evolve morally. While this might be true about the general public, unfortunately, it seems not to be true when it pertains to those in power. One of the most bitterly debated subjects in classical archaeology is whether or not the Carthaginians, an ancient civilization in North Africa, killed their children for their gods. Evidence for the worship of Moloch is found in the Old Testament, with variant names Molech, Melech, and Baal, meaning Lord, and also the Phoenician theonym for Moloch is MLK. If the classical reports are accurate, Moloch represents a deity or symbology associated with child sacrifice and is fervently despised in the Old Testament. Other than claims from Alex Jones during his escapades with Bohemian Grove, no archaeological or historical evidence states Moloch or any of his variant names resemble an owl. Rabbinical tradition depicted Moloch as a bronze statue with the head of a bull and a large human body where victims were thrown into fire. The Canaanite deity has also been drawn and referred to as Kronos due to the parallel mytheme of the Titan god devouring his children. The ritualistic intimations of Baal and Moloch have existed for thousands of years, with modern reimaginings depicting the idol as a machine. Other controversial interpretations can be found in the origins of Freemasonry, as revealed in the Royal Arch Degree in the Rituals of Exaltation. The name of the great architect of the universe is a trinity of words, Jabulon, translating to Yahweh, Baal, and Osiris, the ancient Egyptian god of fertility, resurrection, and the underworld. In Tunisia, just outside Jerusalem, children were said to have been sacrificed to Baal by being, quote, passed through fire in an area called a Tophet. According to Rashi, the single most influential commentator of the Middle Ages, the massive statue of, quote, Molech, which was of copper, and they would heat it up from underneath with its hands spread out, and they would place the child on his hands, and he would be burnt and moan, and the priests would beat drums so the father should not hear his son's voice and take pity, end quote. It's pertinent to understand the Hebrew Bible referred to Moloch worship as Canaanite idolatry, straying away from Judaism. The quotes from Leviticus are clear. But the religion of Carthage in North Africa managed to continue the Canaanite ritual. With several modifications, they birthed what the Jewish virtual library called the Cult of Moloch, creating the largest Tophet ever discovered, covering almost 4 miles with 9 descending levels. Rabbinical tradition stated, quote, the body of Moloch was hollow, divided into 7 compartments, in one which they put flour, in the 2nd through 6th they put animals, and in the 7th a child, which were all burned together by heating the statue inside. Initially, scholars interpreted these claims as exaggerated fictions, stemming from Greek and Roman propaganda, who publicly shamed these cults as barbaric. But in 1923, French-led excavations at Carthage found some 20,000 burials containing cremated infant and animal bones kept in urns, inscribed with dedications to Baal and the Phoenician theonym for Moloch. They discovered long genealogical pedigrees signifying noble families, with one lineage stretching back 16 generations, suggesting the ritual was, quote, an elite practice. The University of Oxford published a study of the findings, concluding the Greek and Roman accounts were true, and not, as modern scholars believed, propaganda. They also reaffirmed previous analyses that because the ritual was so expensive, only the wealthiest and most powerful in Carthage could have practiced it. The cult of Moloch was real, an unspeakable evil carried out by wealthy humans while their society was flourishing. An author of the study said, quote, "We should not imagine that ancient people thought like us and were horrified by the same things. But remember, the Greeks and the Romans were just as appalled then as we are now. Even many animals have an unquenchable desire for the safety of their offspring." Something curious happened to the rulers of Carthage long ago. What was it? And with the cult of Moloch substantiated, it would seem that anyone knowledgeable of its horror would react with abhorrence and disgust. And with most of the world having no idea about this, why then, or how then, does Hillary Clinton know about Moloch? In previous volumes, I outlined the strangely deviant website created by the current VP of Pew Charitable Trust, Tamara Luzzatto, outlining her odd, sexual, borderline torturous rhetorical proclivities aimed toward her grandchildren. The names of Tamara's grandchildren are Ruby, Emerson, and Meve Luzzatto. In this leaked email between Tamara and John Podesta, Tamara refers to a get-together at a farm, where she refers to a heated pool. She continues, saying, quote, "Ruby, Emerson, and Meve Luzzatto, 11, 9, and almost 7, so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in that pool for sure." But there's more to this story than initially perceived, much more. In 2008, the website Mama's Midwives published a home birth story written by the biological mom of these children, Alexandra Tidings Luzzatto. In the story, she mentions Ruby and Emerson, then says, quote, "And with the next contraction, Meve Chaim Luzzatto arrived." This name is the female iteration of Moshe, or Moses Chaim Luzzatto, a messianic cult leader who promoted black magic in the 18th century. Critics might argue that this comparison is arbitrary and point to other notable uses of the Luzzatto name. But among all documented uses, only one has Chaim as its middle name. Additionally, the name Meve is both a historical and pop-modern female variant for Moses. Either Alexandra named her child after an occult messiah by accident, or these families understand the significance of their names and their lineage. Consider she's also part of the Tidings family, a powerful genealogy of U.S. Democratic politicians dating back to the 18th century. In the award... winning book, The Pursuit of Heresy, author Hofen states, quote, "Shortly after receiving a magitic confirmation of his unique mission, Luzzatto joined a secret circle where he would communicate with apparitions called magids that prophesized events and offered a visionary hidden knowledge, but his ceremonies were small and were covened only between a secret cult that summoned the dead." Alexandra Tidings also comes from a line of Crowleys. Her sister, Paige Crowley, named after her mother's longtime partner, Arthur Crowley, whose father was the first Crowley. Now, some might claim that any comparison to the English occultist Aleister Crowley, based solely on similar last names, would be a reach. However, the fact that Alexandra named her daughter after Moshe Chaim Luzzatto points to an awareness and preoccupation with genealogy that extends also to her elders. Additionally, Aleister Crowley's original name was Alexander Crowley, the male iteration of Alexandra. The idea this was a fluke made by powerful pedigrees is absurd. The associations couldn't be more obvious, unless, of course, there's evidence that people in this family have been publicly associated with the occult.
I'm starting a new school. The feel of it in your hands. The look. So clean. So perfectly empty.
It's important to understand that not all interpretations of the occult are inherently sinister. Many of us might enjoy horoscopes or getting our palms read. One mustn't devolve into the fundamentalists who went nuts over Harry Potter, right? But just as Islamic apologists obfuscate the brutality in the Quran, so too do followers of Aleister Crowley. In his book, Magic in Theory and Practice, he states, "A male child of perfect innocence and high intelligence is the most satisfactory and suitable victim. The bloody sacrifice, though more dangerous, is more efficacious, and for nearly all purposes, human sacrifice is the best." Referring to himself as the Beast 666, Crowley was an individualist, arch-Satanist, who created the cult of Thelema, the Grand Lodge Ordo Templi Orienta.
All leftism goes back to pit of fit. They're trying to redesignate them. They're trying not, not going to want maps. If you're a leftist, you're a pedophile. Think it now. If you're in transgenderism, you're a pedophile. And the unfortunate thing I'm going to have to do, I don't want to do it, I'm going to have to do it, and I had to destroy him. Which I don't want to. But he is a huge leftist. And I saved him by not destroying him. His beige frequency. I hate to have to do it. But if you follow his Twitter, he's pretty much there. Beige frequency is pretty much, you know, fucked 6-year-olds. He's pretty much there. He's pretty much there. They're all there. I saved that nigga. You're gonna drop, cause you know when Rogan shit on the Cherny thing, the fighter, and we had our whole Twitter DM discussion. I talked about doing that video, but yeah, that nigga's a weirdo leftist, probably pedophile too. Because this is what it all comes back to. You can't say kids can choose their own gender at 5. You're saying that because you're thinking, oh, fuck no. It's obviously linked.
Test or OTO, and a ritual called sex magic, which includes drinking mixtures of semen and blood. Even after his death, through his famously shallow and insidious libertine ethic, do what thou wilt, he's continued to gain followers all over the world. Some well-meaning, others not. For several decades, the Kidley sex cult led by Colin Batley psychologically terrorized and raped vulnerable children. After being jailed in 2011, investigators found that each follower had a laminated version of Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law. One girl testified that she was taken to other homes and forced to have sex with strangers at, quote, satanic orgies. And the leader had Rottweiler dogs.
Hideous dudes and hideous shits.
That were vicious to everyone. It's apparent that many followers of Crowley mirror the countless Muslim scholars who obfuscate their prophet's well-documented pedophilia. For example, this verse from Alistair's diary was so disturbing, even a Thelemite asked a forum of followers if Aleister really did this to his baby. Quote, "Her breasts itch with lust of incest. She hath given her 2-year bastard boy to her lewd lover's whim of sodomy. She hath tongued her 5-month girl and asked its father to deflower it. Thin shrieks of a young child that her beast god slave mate is torturing for her pleasure." End quote. Some said it was probably poetic hyperbole, or a drug-induced stupor, or saw no problem at all. Others said, quote, "The whole topic of pedophilia is central for coming to full understanding the eon of the child," end quote. Another said Crowley was tame compared to TV shows like Family Guy, and that Aleister may have had pedophile tendencies, but he wasn't a real pedophile. A real true pedophile is simply a lover of youth. Philia is a word meaning love, like agape or thelema. There are many others who excuse pederasty, so I'll end it with another Thelemite who said, quote, "You could argue, I'm sure, that a person who finds themselves in love with a child has the right to follow up his or her urges with action, so long as the kid was also up for it." After Crowley died, George King published The Secret Rituals of the OTO. This infuriated their new leader, Grady McMurtry, who conceded the book was, quote, accurate enough to be used for initiations. The most significant secret revealed was a word being used during Thelema's rituals, a word that forever tethered their cult to the contentious origins of Freemasonry. Jabulon. It's important to note that the majority of Freemasons are good people, separate from the alleged malevolence of those at the top, who both know and keep the secrets which established the need for the society in the first place. And it's those men who built this country, installing their own people into the most prominent positions of power and influence, so as to maintain...
Yeah, I'm a Freemason, right? I was wondering another thing. Yeah, all the things that are Freemason. And the great secrets are, they carved their name in the White House in like 1642. If you're a Freemason, you're a faggot. You don't know any great secrets. You have no great secrets. It's been a fucking horse and they carved their name around. Freemasons didn't do shit.
Maintain their status and control that arguably control the world. If you doubt this, allow me to rebuke with two questions. How do you make sure your influence and power are represented across an entire people? In other words, how do you control a country? You build one. While none of this is evidence that Tamra Luzzatto is necessarily sinister, it certainly hints to a specific pattern of belief so often found among the most powerful in our society. One can confidently say that members of the Luzzatto and Tidings family knowingly name their children after two infamous cult leaders, one of whom has amassed a following of, on one hand, decent people who are merely interested in Crowley's aesthetic and counterculture variants, and on the other, pedophile apologists and sexual deviants. Which side the Luzzatto family is on, I leave up to you. Either way, Tamra Luzzatto is one of the most powerful women in the world, having worked as the primary advisor for Senator John D. Rockefeller's National Commission on Children, then as chief of staff for Hillary Clinton, per the recommendation of John Podesta, and is currently the senior vice president for the Pew Charitable Trust. She's someone you don't want to fuck with. Even the articles written about her by so-called reputable publications compare her and her husband to Francis and Claire Underwood from House of Cards. So while I wouldn't suggest poking the bear, I will continue to. See you next time.
That was an interesting out. Okay. What do you think about the Buddha thing? Was that a good conspiracy doc? Nah. We all can run this. He said a bunch of names, I don't know though. I'm pretty sure they're guilty of everything. Probably right. Why don't you go all in? Why don't you go on and say this nigga did this or that? I'm gonna bitch you. I don't give a fuck. All right. Now, I played this video. What is it, like a week and a half ago? And on questions, now AIU is covering this video. I think he had the same position as me, but we're going to hear him out. Most of it was made up. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was. I'm sure I know something multi there. I dig a channel now, so follow him. Bhakti Buddha.
In a dispute, it's over custody. This happened out in West Texas. And if you haven't seen it, here it is. I just realized this guy's giving a lot of Tiger King vibe. He kind of feels like a straight Texan version of the Tiger King. Although the Tiger King's from like, what, Oklahoma? So it's basically the same guy, just less gay. Okay, so you're playing games. I'm supposed to have the child at 3:15. You're telling me to pick him up at 6? So he's pissed, he wants his kid. Obviously, there is animosity between these two groups. This is not uncommon for there to be anger and emotions and just everything when it comes to custody and a divorce and whatever the situation is here. But as you notice, the other man, the new husband, I presume, he has wandered into the house and he's coming back with a gun. And there is a rooster. No roosters were hurt during the course of this. Now, it seems like something that adult, rational people could figure out. You know, like, hey, I have the legal authority. We had agreed upon a time. I'm here at that time. It's disrespectful to not give me the time with my child, etc. But, you know, anger and tension escalates, and this guy is angry, and potentially rightfully so, and his anger is seen as a threat by the other dude. And so that's why he's trying to equalize, because he's a smaller man. And he feels he has the right because you're at his home or you're outside of his home. And so he feels, nope, this is my castle and here I come with my big gun.
I'm subpoenaing your mom. I'm subpoenaing Anne-Marie.
This is on video. I'm very
glad. Yeah, leave! Do it!
And he then just brandishes the weapon. Leave. He brings it up like he's a stormtrooper. And this doesn't work the way he thought it was going to work. So in other words, the conversation about 3:15, 6 o'clock, custody of the kid, that's all over. And why? Because this man has an instrument of death. He has brought out some massive gun, and he's about to use it. Now, I think he was hoping that this guy in the green shirt was going to be like, whoa, 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 okay, my bad. Like, we'll figure this out. I'll give you a call. Like, it's okay. And walk away. Instead, the guy walks right up to the danger. As in, you think you're a big man? You're the big man on campus right now? You bring out a gun? You're a little man. I'm not scared of you. I'm going to show you I'm not scared of you. He doesn't think this man's going to shoot him over nothing. In fact, he says, use it, motherfucker. So he's threatening him. He's walking right up to him. His arms are down. He's showing that I'm not even going to take any defensive measures against you because I have such a big dick and a huge ego that I don't even view you as a threat, even though you're holding a gun at me.
David, I'll take it from you.
And then he says, I will take it from you and shoot you with it, which is probably not the best thing to say. And the lawyers for the guy in the black shirt are probably going to bring...
In our context, that nigga knows my dick's bigger and I hit her better. Well, you just with her and you got my kids.
That up in court. And if there is a court case, I don't even think there is. And they would say, look, my client was fearing for his life because not only did he say he was going to take the gun and use it against him, he then grabbed the gun. So grabbing a gun, bad, typically, right? We learned that with Kyle Rittenhouse. We should have learned that with Ahmaud Arbery. If you grab someone's gun, you are clearly a threat. But then again, look at the logistics of it all. If I'm in an argument with someone and a guy brings out a gun, is that not a threat to me? So can I not take action to defend myself against that threat? And one of those actions could be grabbing the gun. But now the other guy feels the threat of you grabbing his gun. And so the threat escalation is just through the roof now. And then bang, bang, and we can sort it all out later, but someone's dead. And it all started with a couple choices. One, the guy who reached for the gun, that was a choice. And then two, the guy who brought out the gun, that was a choice. Now, you can talk about it morally or legally. Legally, you know, the guy probably owned that gun. He has the right to own that gun, etc. That's just the way it is right now. But morally speaking, he did ramp up the threat in this situation. And if he hadn't gone to get his gun, no one would be dead. This would have been a little more arguing and then a resolution.
Call 911.
He almost did a Mel Gibson. Give me back my son.
Motherfucker, give me back my son.
Hello.
Want him? Yes! You want him?
Back in niggers, it's your fault.
Call 911. Call 911. Call 911.
You think I'm scared of you, you little bitch? And he takes him and throws him away. You know, just sort of big brothers him and...
Spoiler. My thought at the time watching it, and I'm pretty sure AIU's thought is, yeah, that was murder.
Tosses him away, but he doesn't pursue. He's staying on that wood porch. But he grabbed the gun, but used it as leverage to toss him aside. Now, he could have charged again. Likely he would have. But at the point he gets shot, this dude is several feet away from him.
Call 911. Call 911. I have it on video, Kyle. You did it, not him.
Again, okay, so she says, you did it, not him. You did what? Shooting? You did what? This whole conflict? Well, he did grab the gun. He did say he was going to grab the gun and use it against the guy. So where do you stand on this? You know, you can't just go, well, I stand with the white guy, the black guy, like the idiotic mainstream would do. You actually have to think about who's in the right here. Now, my blame, I say the blame is on the guy in the black shirt. I think he shouldn't have shot him. I think there's some gray zone because the gun was grabbed, but there could be blame here. I mean, I'm not immune to the idea that he brought the gun and said, get off my property, leave. And the guy came to him chest to chest. You know, whose responsibility is it? This guy didn't pull a Kyle Rittenhouse. He didn't run away. You know, he didn't de-escalate. He stood his ground and shot a warning shot into the ground.
I told all of y'all to leave.
We came to get his son.
But to me, the whole idea of there's a custody dispute and this guy's not being violent. He's the father of your stepson, you know, and you go get a gun and brandish it. Like that to me is a ridiculous.
Push you away like a pussy you were with a gun. Then go towards you and then tell, why is that dude has not owned on you charged? And that's a craziness to attack this. They're not sure that they are. That was murder. Anyway, if it was a pussy. Son. His daughter's out there. His chicken out there. He fucking drew a little dick. Maybe that's more property. We never heard of mom. The mom can't possibly get a fuck right by the red-headed faggot. Oh, God.
Ridiculous escalation that is not justified. So I would take it back to there.
She should have told that. She should have told that.
None of y'all should be here. None of y'all should be here. I asked you to leave.
I asked you to leave once, twice. How many times? And then I just come out and shoot you? I mean, this is why the stakes are so high. You bring out a gun and all of a sudden you're in a Shakespearean tragedy. And it's like, oh, we're in a fight to the death? I didn't realize. Cue the music.
I did everything. I did not want to do any of this.
911.
And here's the other angle, which shows you a little more, actually, as to what happened.
From you,
this is on video! Get off of the property!
Where's my son?
Boom. You can see clearly there that he was not pursuing. So he just tossed him aside. Watch this. Tossed him aside, and then the guy took a couple steps back and then shot. So it is a kind of a pussy move and a coward move, and I think there clearly is personal animosity there. They didn't like each other. They're designed not to like each other. And so...
That nigga with the gun is a faggot. Sorry. That nigga's a pussy. They're gonna charge him. They're not gonna charge him. But, yeah, that nigga's a faggot pussy. In my opinion, committed murder. It's my opinion. Castle Dock. It exists if someone's gonna break into your house. If someone's standing on my lawn, I'm not allowed to shoot them. No, it's not even my land, my law. No, not even that. Niggas can camp out on my front lawn. I'm not allowed to shoot them. No. The Castle Doctrine is that someone's breaking, then they're going to bring in. I've always said that AI agrees with me. And that red-headed, bearded pussy was a faggot. A loser faggot. You can tell the ex-husband had the bigger dick. That's why you never saw the wife, by the way. And the external parties, the sister, the thing, whatever. Or the wife. Look, I'm with him now. He's red-headed. His dick is little. You have to grab a gun. That's why she did it. But, he hasn't been charged, though. I would have charged that nigga with murder, and I think he could win. Because I think what it was. You got manhandled. You threw it away. Is it like, by the way, all you Castle Doctrine niggas. Well, then Micaiah Bryant was right? No. That fat black chick who tried stabbing a chick in the cop who shot her. Say he was right. Yeah. We know what the Castle Doctrine is. Don't get stupid now. Because all those niggas' arguments were, they were on her property. So she allowed to just stab anyone outside of her? No. They ain't allowed to do that. Someone's standing on your lawn. You're not allowed to kill. Who's not aggressing you? No. The redhead. There's daywalkers, a redhead. They're weirdos. Santoro, Lister, and Kobe were effing drunk. Fuck you, nigga. Alright, you didn't donate. Keep laying this down. The bounce
over. You're telling me he would have done the same thing if it was not this ex-husband? This guy who's been a thorn in his side? They've had years of disputes, potentially? No, he shot him because he didn't like him. Now here's the news coverage.
Well, nearly 3 weeks of investigation leads us to tonight.
So we're just going to pretend those eyebrows are normal? Okay, fine.
When we can witness all that we've been wondering. What happened when Kyle Carruth fatally shot Chad Reed on November 5th?
I like how we're talking about them like they're known people to us. Kyle Carruth and Chad Reed, what are they, country stars? These are just two random guys.
Matthew Harris, the attorney for Chad Reed's widow, Jennifer Reed, tells us the family wants to end the speculation and show the public exactly what happened. Kyle Carruth's lawyer also giving us his own video from another perspective, saying he believes it supports their claim of self-defense. Now we're going to show you both videos side by side now so that you can make sense of the facts and the fallout from that day. And we will warn you though, some of what you're about to see is graphic.
From you and
this is on video! Get off of the property!
Where's my son?
Hold on. You buried the lead. Look at that sick ass treehouse in the back. Hell yeah. Get a walkie-talkie, some Playboys up. There, penthouse? You're telling me that's not a good time? What do you got, a rope ladder? How do I get up there?
You know what? I still hate you, but you got a pretty awesome collection of nudie mags.
I'd be say black bye.